Greetings, huggable podcastlings. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 58, our second guestless podcast. Promise myself I wouldn't cry. And I'm not. The song you're listening to in the background is called Gacy. It is from the Sufjan Stevens remix album, Illin Noise, by MC DJ. Who could have thought a song about professional clown and murder enthusiast John Wayne Gacy could have such fresh beats? But here we are! And now on to the business of the day, which is the following! I will be coming to tell stand-up comedy jokes at the Wilbur Theater in Boston on April 9th. Now, this is very important because the Wilbur Theater seats about 1,000 people, and that is a way larger venue than I've ever tried to perform alone in before. And if I were being completely honest with you, I would tell you that I'm shitting my pants about it right now a little bit. Because I don't know if that many people will come out to see me. And if they do, it'll be awesome. Incredibly awesome. Because that means that I can get some theater shows going and we will be able to continue to do the Nerdist Podcast and give it away for free. Which would be great. So, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm begging, but if you have ever been entertained even 1 minute by this podcast and you live in or near the Boston area, please come to that show. It would really mean a lot to me, and I will come out after the show and chest bump each person who comes to that show. And if 1,000 people show up, I will fucking chest bump 1,000 people in appreciation for showing up. I really want this to be an event. You want to show up in costume? Show up in costume. It will be a fucking fun show. So please come. You can get the ticket link on Nerdist.com over in the sidebar where it says Look at Me. I'll have a link to the Wilbur Theater. Or you can go to TheWilburTheater.com. That's The Wilbur, W-I-L-B-U-R, and then Theatra, the British spelling. That's how fancy it is. God damn it, I need to fill a British spelling theater. Okay. Enough of this desperate begging shit. Now on with the guestless podcast number 58, which we recorded up at SF Sketchfest, which was a fucking blast. We did do the podcast with Zach Galifianakis. I will be putting that up Monday. The show was incredible and Zach was great. So until then, here's a little aperitif to tell you over the Nerdist podcast number 58 with guestless.
Wilbur Theater, April 9th.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
We should be.
Holy shit.
I just had lunch with Adam Savage, and he gave me, as a present, an exact replica. I mean, you know, he's a replica guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It is an exact replica of the Time Bandits map.
Wow.
On canvas.
That's great.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it'd be really cool if it had all the creases from the fold, like the way it was folded. And he goes, I actually have a tutorial that will show you how to do that. And so he's going to email me a tutorial so I can put all the exact folds in it.
That's amazing. Oh. And then after you fold it and crease it a bunch and kind of wear it down, are you going to frame it?
Yeah, although I don't know if I should crease it and fold it. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is, but I mean,
yeah. It would look cooler. Crease.
Because it would look like an old pirate map that, like, you know, from the one from Goonies where it's like he had framed, you know?
Yeah, but if I fuck it up, I'm going to be so devastated.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm going to be so devastated.
That's really so awesome. Satisfying.
One of my favorite things, weirdly, in that movie, besides the rest of the movie, is just how satisfying the weight and the feel of the map sounded in the movie when Ralph Richardson takes it at the end and, like, shakes the, you know, they shake the dust off it. I let you borrow my map, you know, like it's... And now I have it. The only thing I can't figure out is if the time hole map is actually corresponds to the script, or if it's just sort of a, we just had someone design a random...
Yeah, yeah. We never get a good look at it, so, you know.
Those Brits, they sure know how to do time travel stuff.
Terry Gilliam is an American.
It's like the after-the-fact maps they draw of Star Trek Galaxy.
All right, you're right. Terry Gilliam is way American. But he's kind of an expat, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Now he lives in America again.
Does he?
I
feel like he's in France.
Yeah. Is he in France?
I feel like that. I don't know why.
Or is he in Paris, Texas, and that's why you got confused?
Oh, it's probably it, you guys.
That's probably it.
We're here at the Punchline in the green room in a very
so if you hear people
awkward configuration
talking in the background like I do, that's who it is.
It's cleaning people. Crew. Should I ask them if they should?
No,
if
they, I mean
they gotta set up. The
it's all right. They're setting up. It's all right.
Hey, we're recording something in here. If there's any way, just like I know, I want you to not conduct your business, but we're just picking up all of it. Sorry about that.
I want those men killed. That's Chris taking care of business right there.
I want those men killed.
TCB.
Yep. Taking Chris's business.
Taking Chris's business.
TCBY.
That's what you say when you're on your way to the bathroom, right?
Yep.
Taking Chris's business.
Well, actually, I'll take a crap and then smear TCB with a lightning bolt
Do you let it dry and then use it as like a medallion?
I don't know what happens afterwards. Okay. I can't keep track of all this stuff. Yeah. All I can do is just create the magic and then
walk away.
Let the ships fall where they may.
Like graffito tagging. Just do it and walk away.
That's right. I'm the Banksy of shitting.
Yes, exactly.
Except now we know your identity.
Ah, fuck! I ruined it already. Damn it! Oh, I'm no good at this. And I just started.
You're the worst Banksy.
Man, I literally within 30 seconds, I already ruined it.
We should have, we should say we're having Banksy on, but then just have like a guy with a modulated voice, and just like say it's him.
Oh, you totally could.
That's a Banksy move.
You totally could.
That move is so Banksy.
I mean, you know, to think about it, if you really think about it, we could do that with a few different things. Like we could have Stephen Hawking on.
Yeah.
the possibilities are.
I have him read things to me at night. Just the Stephen.
You know
Hawking
Stephen Hawking?
Voice. Yeah, sure.
That's pretty great.
I know his voice box. It lives in my Apple computer.
Really?
I forget the name of that voice. Have you ever played with that? The voice feature on iOS. There's like a bunch of different voices. One of them is the Stephen Hawking.
We used to play with that in Microsoft, like in the old, like when I had PCs, where you'd go through and be like, "Hello, my name is Dennis." Like this weird sort of like, it's not even, no one talks that way.
Yeah.
They just can't master the cadence.
When I was 17, it was the funniest thing to say, "You suck cock," in all those different voices.
Yeah, the,
whomever.
Eight, it's still funny. What are you talking about? I'm in my 30s.
Deanna's cat like jumped on my computer and then it started something where like every time I put my mouth over something, it would read it out, like it would say it in the computer voice.
Really?
Like, your mouse over,
yeah.
Universal access.
Yeah, I had no idea that wasn't even a thing on it, but somehow my girlfriend's cat, Deanna's cat, just figured out how to turn it on, and I had no idea how to turn it on.
I don't know if the cat figured it out.
How long have you had a super cat?
Or if it accidentally...
The super cat, which I found near Nim. It's eating some really smart rats with staffs.
I don't know what is this like the premise of a bad 80s movie. Like, I don't know. I just found this cat near all these drums of radioactive waste.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Now it's a super cat.
You didn't think it was weird that it was glowing? I don't know. It's the 80s. Everyone's explanation in 80s movies.
Is that how Air Bud started to be really good at basketball?
Yep. It was radioactive. Or he was just born
good. He was born good, guys.
There's nothing in the rules about a dog not being able to play. He's right.
He's right. Game on.
Technically, it doesn't say that. That's why now there's chipmunks in the NBA because the lawyers didn't go through.
The following season, they immediately changed the law or rule, I suppose.
Yeah, no dogs. The next season, someone's got it.
It's called the Air Bud Clause.
the next season, because they put the dog thing in there, and someone's like, "I got an alpaca who can make free throws." And they're like, "Fuck!" And they just have to go through. And it's just like the documents are now
took
like
them 30 years to write no one other than human beings.
Every time they identify a new species, they have to go in and put that in there.
It's like, oh, this isn't an Air Bud. These are Air Buddies. It's like, puppies!
Yeah, that movie was terrible. I really thought it would be good.
What?
When I was a kid.
When you were a kid.
Air Bud's going to be good.
I don't know. I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's a thing. You're smart.
Angels in the Outfield, I thought.
Angels in the Outfield.
And
great.
It was Rookie of the Year, fantastic.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year, Angels in the Outfield. There was one other one, Major Big League or
Major League,
Major
Little
League,
Big
no,
League,
not Little Big League.
Didn't see any of. All I saw was Major League. I didn't see any of those other ones.
Little Big. There was a rash of kids in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Angels in the Outfield was a Disney. When they threw their hat in, I had Christopher Lloyd as an angel in the outfield. Tony Danza was in that. And the kid was fucking with the guy from Inception, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Was JGL was the kid.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that Danza and Lloyd were reunited from their taxi days.
Exactly.
Angels in the Outfield.
But only in post. It was
Bad News Bears was a pretty fun baseball. The original Bad News Bears, which was great when you watch it now and you realize
insane.
Like when you see what they got away with in a kids movie, like all the kids were drinking beer and swearing and saying the N-word.
Yeah.
And it was pretty.
I thought Sandlot got pretty close to like kids being ruckusy.
I didn't see it.
I was a good
Sandlot one. I really liked that movie.
Teen Joel Jones.
What was the Keanu Reeves one where he coaches a bunch of inner city kids or something like that?
Oh,
what is that?
I'm
called?
A coach.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Matrix League.
Where
Neo goes in and teaches kids that there is no spoon.
Oh my god. Were you setting that up, or did that come to you after you were
it
trying?
It came to me after I read it. Because there really is a Keanu Reeves movie.
Because I still can't think of what that would be. And I was like, was it just like a really smooth fucking setup?
No, it was not a setup. It was not a setup at all.
No, that's impressive.
What is it
though?
Called? That's really going to bother me.
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna look it up on the Internet Movie Database.
I'll listen for interference.
App on Mac phone.
That's the thing. That's anytime there's a question, that's what Blank Compassion, the web soup writer's room, does. It's just like, if only there were some way.
If there were a worldwide web of information that could possibly. All right, it's not Devil's Advocate, and it certainly
the devil's
wasn't
my father.
Wasn't Constantine. Spoiler
I'm an
alert.
Angel?
It's Skinner Darkly, Thumbsucker, Ellie Parker, something's gotta give! Matrix Revolution, Kids Are in the Matrix,
and Parenthood.
Hardball.
Oh, that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Hardball. It was called Hardball. 2001.
What's the synopsis?
Here we go. Do you want me to just read the synopsis, or is there a particular? Should I read the synopsis in the style of anything?
Oh, read the synopsis in the style of a very classy British movie reviewer.
Hardball 2001. The plot summary is as follows. A nameless young man who is scalping tickets, gambling and drinking, agrees to coach a little league team from the Cabrini Green Housing Project in Chicago as a condition of getting a loan from a friend. Sounds like a romp.
You just nailed the accent that is British and gay.
I did.
Yeah.
That's all of them.
Well...
The That's British accent is inherently gay.
Yeah.
That was very specifically gay.
The British accent is inherently gay.
What's that?
But in a good way. Like,
yeah,
I'm
no,
gay for
fine.
It. I would
yeah.
tell,
yeah,
I tell
yeah,
if fine. I could fuck an accent in the mouth,
I'm
it would
fucking
be a British
now.
Accent.
I would.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
What's the in Idiocracy? He talks all gay. You don't like that movie?
I haven't seen it.
That's weird. I thought you liked things that are good and funny.
That's weird. You said that to me a year ago when I said I haven't seen that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said it again.
Make out! Make out! Make out! just watch the intent. You know, it's funny. Just Jonah, I'd see you just scoot forward a little on your seat. Like, I just see the, like, the... Really? Interesting. I am shooting lasers through you with my eyes.
Jonah's favorite thing to say to me is, oh, I thought you liked comedy.
Well, you know, sometimes I get surprised where, you know, like it's like I you know, I'm a big fan of comedy, so I seek out the things that are good and
yep.
that you want to see. It's like, did you like Office Space?
Yes.
And you're a big fan of it, right?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. So if that guy puts out another movie, don't you want to go and see that movie?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that stands to reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Got lost in the shuffle of whatever time period that came out. I was in college.
Well, it just kind of got shit out. It was only in the theaters for a week.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, Terry Crews as President Camacho, that is a fucking performance that deserves an award.
It reminds me of something I heard Saget say once where someone said, someone in the room said, I don't remember what the song was, but is this album any good? And he goes, yeah, it's great if you've never heard other music. that was a good snipe. That was a really good snipe.
Saget it.
Damn.
Yeah.
We're going to get him on. Bob said he would come on the podcast.
Yeah. I'm shifting so my leg doesn't hurt.
No one could see that.
Leg still hurts.
I can hear it. I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Well, you got the headphones on.
Yeah.
You're the tech guy, apparently, on this podcast.
I got a broken iPod.
we're at SF Sketchfest, and we've been doing a ton of shows. By the time this goes up, the Zach Galifianakis...
will have been up.
We'll have been up.
That was a crazy night, huh?
It really was. It was crazy. I cut out the audience questions.
That's good. So that's just for... That's just for about everyone that was there.
450 or 500 lucky people that were in there with.
Well, it's just that they, you know, we've done audience questions before at live podcasts, and you know, people haven't been particularly psychotic, but for some reason they were just fucking kook bags.
Yeah, it brought out the weirdos, man, and I'm pretty sure some of those weirdos are listening to this right now.
I meant wonderful consumers of this podcast.
Yeah. Subscribe.
No, it just, there's like, there was one woman that just wouldn't get off the stage. Like, she came up on the stage and...
How did that happen? Her? Yeah, Zach brought her up.
Did he?
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never do that.
That was a mistake. I feel like some people in the audience, there were questions, like, they weren't mic'd very well, so that you couldn't really hear them, and it was just like, you had to be there to experience the questions, and so...
I jokingly, like, when one guy was asking a question, I, like...
Put it in his face,
and thinking that was so funny... And then, like, he kind of laughed, and then I did it again, and then he, like, did that slow kind of push my hand away.
We had boundary issues.
And, like, I totally, you know, because it was just what was funny, it was so chaotic.
It was only funny for me and you, because we were the only two people that could see that.
Yeah, he had the angle you were at. We should have asked if someone put a dick in his face and he didn't want it at some point in his life, and was that what was bringing it up?
Yeah, yeah, bringing it up. And then you said, use my mic, his smells like whiskey and sadness.
Yes. It did. The comedian microphone smelled terrible. It was just comics just talking into a microphone and, you know, just randomly spitting at points throughout the day, and it's usually they're spitting out booze or rage or whatever, what have you, and it just never ever, no stand-up room mic ever smells good, ever. And the shit that's going through your head is when you're doing a bit and then you accidentally poke yourself in the lip with it, you're just like, well, I guess I'll enjoy whatever I just caught, because I might be one of those crazy people that ultimately starts bringing my own mic around. Number one, because the mics at comedy clubs are notoriously bad anyway. They're just basically like PA grade mics. Mm-hmm. And number two, they're always fucked up and they sound bad and I have to shout more because they're not good mics. I think I might just buy
a snazzy mic. Bring a Lysol wipe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That doesn't help the sound. You know, Rollins brings his own mic wherever he goes. He brings a Shure.
Even if he's not doing a show.
Even if he's not doing a show, he just does it so he can wrap something.
Fuck you, hipster! Just walks down the street.
Mr. Rollins, you're in Whole Foods.
Well, you're fucking doing nothing, hipster. What are you doing with your life?
Jesus. Where do I find the alternative baking company cookies? I really like pumpkin spice. And Mr. Rollins, please.
I need grass-fed beef.
I've been having a pretty amazing time, though. We did the music show last night. We did two music shows last night.
I heard you. I was next door in a cafe.
Oh, you were?
Like, listening.
Yeah, it was Garfunkel & Oates and Mike Ferman and Koechner. You what?
We couldn't get in.
You couldn't get into what?
The music show.
Why?
I don't know. We didn't try hard enough?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just text me?
No, because you were awesome. We didn't want to bug you.
We don't want to bother you.
Yeah.
And then, like, Eli Brain's probably just sitting around. And then he's like, don't get a guest list, man. Sorry.
You should have just texted me. Yeah. I feel terrible, you guys.
Oh, no, it's fine. Okay. We were just wandering around.
We hung out, and then I went to Viva Variety, which was great.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. It was a good time seeing you.
I heard that Toby Huss's character.
Yes.
Which is, what's the
lounge singing.
The lounge singing.
Oh, character. Rudy Cassoni?
Rudy Cassoni. I heard he really tore into you.
Not really, but
I've heard it from two different people how he fucking tore you apart.
He didn't tear me apart.
I heard he really just eviscerated.
Make out! Make out! Make out!
No, it was really funny. He was like, hey, maybe next time you leave, you button up the shirt, huh?
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe we just do three?
Jesus.
When you're leaving the house, then afterwards, do whatever you want.
Nice.
You know, the show was a blast. Ferman, everyone crushed, actually. Everyone crushed. I'm so sorry you guys didn't get into the show, but you're doing your meltdown show tonight.
Tonight is my meltdown show.
It will have happened by the time this goes. Yeah, people understand.
What are you worried about?
I don't know. It's a huge room, that room.
Yeah.
And, like, this podcast. Yeah, cops. This podcast could fill it, along with Zach Galifianakis, but, you know, and the lineup tonight is going to be great.
Yeah.
But it's just me and Kumail. You know, Deanna showing some cartoons.
But it's going to be great.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Who else is on the show?
We got Rich Fulcher, Tom Lennon.
Rich Fulcher. He's going to come on the podcast. We talked about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great. I still fucking tell everybody about his jokes. You know.
He did your favorite joke the other night.
Oh, he did?
We were on the Tig Has Friends, the Tig Notaro stand-up show, and he did the joke, but he didn't do it as Ted Knight.
Oh.
He did it as the guy who played Dr. Smith.
Oh, really?
From Lost in Space.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. He's changing.
Maybe he switched it up.
Maybe.
Maybe he's changing.
But anyway, who else is on the show? We got April Richardson.
Mm-hmm. AP. She's AP. Great. She writes for Chelsea now. I see her.
AP on Chelsea. Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, AP. AP is her Twitter name. A-P-E-Y.
Yeah, yeah. She's also an AP.
And she's also... weird!
Yeah, I know.
And her name's April.
Yep.
Which starts with an AP.
Yep.
And she likes to shop at the A&P.
A&P.
A&P Future Store.
And then, who else is on the show? Michael Ian Black was supposed to be on it, but he's leaving this evening before the show. And, yeah, I think it's going to be great. You know, me and Kumail.
Well, Meltdown is such a fucking awesome show.
We're hoping it translates.
That Jonah Ray does every Wednesday at Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles.
Thanks. Actually, this won't go up in time, but we're going to be on Carson Daly next.
We'll have been on Carson
Daly.
We'll have
been on Carson Daly. So we're at the top right now.
That's pretty sweet.
Nowhere to go, yeah. But... two other shows.
Time to self-destruct. Yeah. It is time to sabotage this success
bubble. Exactly, yeah.
Things are going way too well.
You're getting pretty tired of it, huh, Jonah? Showing up every week, trying to come with material.
Yeah, I guess you're
it's
right.
It's tough, huh?
It is. I'd rather just stay at home.
You know, yeah, what, you know what I love? Is it, what's so fun about these festivals, about doing festivals in general? Personally, and I'm not just saying this because my girlfriend, Jana Varney, is one of the co-creators and co-producers of the festival. I really think SF Sketchfest is the best comedy festival in the United States. Without a doubt, when you look at the lineups and the people that they get year after year, almost every show sells out. The crowds are great.
And it's not even just the people. It's the variety of the types of comedy shows that they put together here and the events. It's like, that's the thing that you don't really see at other comedy festivals. It's like, you know, they're showing High Anxiety. And then there's, you know, like, what's her face is going to be? Cloris Leachman is going to be there, you know, to talk about it. It's like, you know, they have Cinematic Titanic guys. They have reunions. They have, you know, conversational things. Mm-hmm. You're going to, like, you're doing the stuff with the Zucker Brothers.
Yeah, Zucker Brothers and Jim Abrams and Robert Hayes. We're going to watch Airplane at the Castro Theater. And then I'm going to do, you know, like a moderated panel with them and then do Q&A.
That's the best part about this festival is it's more than just just comedians.
Oh, yeah. And they had Brian Henson in conversation with Neil Patrick Harris. And then Brian did a puppet demonstration. And they had Dick Cavett and Conan O'Brien last year. Like, this festival is fucking insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
So it's and I don't mean this to sound like a commercial for the festival, because I mean it legitimately. When I look at the lineups and what they, it really is just the three of them, Janet, David, and Cole.
Yeah,
and they fucking do it every year. This is their 10th year, and you know, like around November, every day of hers is just spoken for. In terms,
if you're listening out there, next year plan a trip to San Francisco. Pick
it
a weekend
really
in
is
January
worth it.
And February.
It really is
just
worth
for
it.
3 days. You're gonna see like a. Like 17 great shows if you're here
imagine,
for 3 days.
I imagine if this was just 1 week of just insanity.
I know the festival's
heads would blow up.
The festival's 3 weeks long.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's like 100 shows in 3 weeks. It's,
but each weekend is like, this is a great weekend, this is a great weekend, this is a great weekend.
Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah.
I mean, we wanted to go up last weekend.
I want
to
go next week.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but what I love is that we get to see, and not just this festival, but when you do festivals in general, it's kind of nice. It's sort of like comedy trade shows where you get to see comics that you get to hang out with because everyone is, you know, lives in different parts of the country.
It's comedy summer camp.
It is comedy summer camp.
Yeah.
And I was talking to, and I felt like a big pussy with my comedy because I don't do a lot, I don't perform in LA a lot anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm performing on the road so much, and I ran into... and I did Tig Has Friends, which was Tig's show, and Kyle Dunnigan, who was fucking hilarious, hosted the show. And Kyle and Tig have been going out around and just doing shitty open mics around L.A.
Yeah, she was telling me about
just
that.
Just to do shows every night, you know? And I was like, really? Because I feel like at a certain point, if you're just performing for... I mean, not in the beginning. If you're first starting out doing comedy, it is important to get up on stage as much as possible.
Yep.
No matter what. Just you talking in front of people... and figuring out how you communicate your stand-up is important.
Just as important as writing.
But when you've been doing comedy for, like, over 10 years, then you sort of be like, but if I'm, you know, is this really going to be helpful for me? And she said, honest to God, it absolutely was. Like, even where she, you know, even where she's at and how pretty solid her voice is and her writing and her comfort level, she said, you know, like, they said that being accountable to write jokes to have to perform every night was invaluable.
Yeah.
So then I just felt like a giant comedy pussy. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go perform at a laundromat.
Yeah, just because the thing is, though, and she when I was talking to her about that, you know, she said the same thing that it was in my head. I said, is it fucking soul-sucking and horrible sometimes? She said, yeah, most of the time. It's just horrible. And it's and you go, oh, why did I fucking bother driving all the way to Santa Monica to do this coffee shop, you know?
I love it. I can't wait to do that again. I used to do it all the time. I'm not kidding. I have to. I work.
Countdown. Countdown. The Myra countdown clock.
What nights do you not work?
Wednesday. I'm usually at Meltdown.
No, you're not.
Well, I go. I've missed like what, like three?
No, you've been to like three.
No, I've been to like five. Chris, leave us alone.
Oh, yes. Oh, you're like a married couple. I love it. I love it so much. I love watching. I love watching you guys needle each other. It's so entertaining.
Sorry,
that's fucking great. Don't apologize. It is ceaselessly entertaining to me.
Well, I'm trying to think of what other nights I don't work.
I mean, you guys still have separate bank accounts, right?
For now, but we're talking about...
Yeah, it's really awkward. We're both up here with our girlfriends.
Getting into a mutual fund.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're off together somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
They worked out yesterday in their jeans.
Yeah. Just like Mickey Rourke.
Like, because we didn't know there'd be a gym.
I heard the mixer works out in his jeans. That's what I heard. Yeah, I heard... When he was in between his career,
yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it was the nicest way I could put that. He would. I heard
between Diner and the wrestler.
I heard. Well, 9.5 weeks. I heard that he would go to the Gold's Gym in Hollywood, like, and work out in jeans.
I see that sometimes. I see at my gym. I see just guys show up because they're just doing weights with their arms.
So to me, it's just going. I don't remember.
But denim is scrapey.
But they're not moving around.
Don't they have dress codes?
No. Certainly not.
You gold. Have to wear clothes.
Yes.
Well, I
that's the code.
That.
That's the dress code. The dress code is that you have to dress.
I don't know what gym it was that I used to go to that had a dress code. I thought it was a Gold's Gym. No, maybe it's LA Fitness has a dress code.
Really?
Yeah, no jeans, no khaki shorts. You have to wear workout pants.
Sounds like Catholic high school.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
That was our dress code, was that we couldn't wear jeans and we had to wear collared shirts.
Could I wear... I'm trying to think if I could... wear jeans. No, I could never wear jeans. Except Friday. Casual Friday. A lot of fun.
Wait, no jeans. Can you wear... And you probably can't wear offensive shirts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't be a dude that has a shirt with airbrush tits on.
LA Fitness. I would go if it was open past 11 o'clock. Like, it's 11 p.m. It's closed. So I go to 24-hour fitness in Koreatown.
Really?
Ugh. Yeah.
So you just told everyone where you work out so people can come...
Please, come.
I'll tell them about the...
Oh yeah, so we're doing a show, One Star.
Who's Weir?
Oh, Tom Lennon and myself are putting together a show called One Star at the UCB in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Where we'll be having actors/comedians. I believe the two of you are coming.
As far as I know, yes.
And we'll be reading dramatic readings of the reviews on Yelp for 24-hour fitness in Koreatown.
But there's a bunch of. Are you announcing the lineup, or are you going
to... Well, I was already announced. The show's already sold out.
Oh. What the fuck are you telling people about it for? Well, here's the thing you can't come to.
Yeah.
Well, when you do it again, though. When you do it again.
We're thinking about doing it.
Patton's doing the show, right?
Patton Oswalt, John Cho, Weird Al, Kevin Pollak's doing it, you guys are doing it, Cedric Yarborough is doing it.
Cedric Yarborough has one of the funniest lines in Black Dynamite.
Cedric.
Yeah.
Cedric.
It's like, but Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community.
I was just extolling the virtues of Black Dynamite to David Koechner last night.
Nice.
When we were doing the music show, and we were I think we were talking about the Zucker Brothers.
Yeah.
And he also just did a parody movie at some point in his career, and he was like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I would do it again, you know, and we were just sort of talking about how, like, no one, you know, at least with Airplane... You loved the characters. You actually, at the core of it, you cared about the story.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, no one was playing it like, look at these crazy jokes we're making.
Mm-hmm.
And every, you know, like, pretty much every attempt since that or Naked Gun has been, you know, look at these crazy jokes.
Very winky. Yeah.
And Black Dynamite was the first one in a long time. It was like, yes, you fucking got it right.
Yeah.
And I know, like, last year we spent several episodes going on about Black Dynamite. Yeah. And they're making a sequel.
They are.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which is very, very exciting.
I hope they figure out a way to bring back Baron Vaughn. I don't know what you jive turkeys is talking about. I am from the streets. Which almost sounded like that guy, the Good Evening, Mr. Kubrick, or what was that guy?
Which
guy? The guy that had that web video. It was like something he made in like the 80s. It was just a video he sent of himself, acting. to, but he sent it to Stanley Kubrick. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Hello, Mr. Kubrick. I am an actor." And then, like, he does a soliloquy from The Outsiders. And it's just like, he does Johnny's speech at the end. He's all, "I'm just scared. I'm scared."
And this might be on the internet somewhere?
It is on the internet. It was a very big hit. It was one of those first kind of YouTube videos to blow up.
You know, I always think about people making videos like that in the 80s before there was a commercial internet. And it's like before MTV, when they had videos from the 70s or the 60s. I'm like, why did they make these?
Yeah, what was the point of this?
And I guess they were, at the time, those were just promotional things that they would do to send to radio stations.
Yeah, this was just a weirdo that sent it to Stanley Kubrick.
Didn't work, apparently.
No. It's so funny, too, because he's just like, it's like, "And millions upon millions of people are devastated that you will not be directing 2010.
Oh, well, like, that's going to change his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, I got this one weird videotape.
Yeah, I don't call people this much, but that guy is a yahoo.
He is a kookaburra.
You really think millions of people were upset by that?
No, I'd say about, like, you know, 10, at the 000. Time, 10,000 nerds.
Yeah, 10,000 people.
How great is San Francisco? I fucking love this town. There's so much good food here.
So much good food. The city is, it's held on to its history more so than many other cities I've been to. It's like you still get a sense of just the way the signage and the buildings and everything like that. It's like you go to New York and it just feels a little more modernized. It has that history, but it doesn't seem like it's held on to it as much.
Right.
Seattle looks like a modern city. They got a monorail, you know, shit like that. Like here, it's just like it really looks like this could almost be the same as it was in the 30s, you know, like with fucking sailors everywhere and chlamydia rocking the charts.
Climbing its way up the charts this week is chlamydia.
Yeah.
That's another slip for herpes simplex 2.
But I think it's an amazing city. It's like walkable and there's tons of shit to do. It's beautiful.
People are pretty cool.
You wear coats all the time.
Constantly.
I love it.
Coats all the time.
Oh yeah. It's fucking freezing here. It's freezing here. It was actually sunny a couple days before we got here and then it just got super cold again.
I wish I was wearing shorts.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you.
You always love
it. Well, number one, I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
And number two, we'll get you some shorts.
Thank you.
We'll get you some
shorts. He has shorts. He's
I have shorts.
Too cold
I just, it's too cold. So I was like, I'll pull out these pants that are 4 inches too big for me.
But you seem like someone, I don't know, I thought you said once that the cold didn't bother you.
Not really. I mean, it doesn't, well, I just think that's partly from living in
Boston.
East. Yeah. But I mean, my blood has thinned a bit.
It does not take long to get acclimated to the pussy tolerance that in Los Angeles, where anywhere else in the country, when it's like 40 degrees in the winter, they're like, "Yeah, we took out our shorts."
Yep.
But in LA, it drops to, you know, 60 and everyone's like, "I can't go out. I can't go outside. It's bitterly cold."
Still cold to me.
It's just a different kind of cold.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, in Hawaii, it drops down to maybe 72. You know, and like it's like that's like it's like you can almost see your breath, and you're like, "Holy shit, this is rad! This is like in the movies."
You've never been to the Punchline before, and there's when you looking around the green room, which is very small, by the way, but it is green. It is literally a green room.
Yeah, it is a green room.
Just seeing pictures from, you know, comics who performed here, like pictures in the 70s. I mean, there's Bill Maher and Paula Poundstone,
really
and
awesome
and what you have to understand is that all of these pictures. These people all look like kids. Like, Gary Shandling looks like a kid. He's wearing a sweat jacket. There's a super young Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres. Still Will
got
Durst.
The mullet. Still got the mullet, DeGeneres.
Still got the mullet. There's a Kinison, Robin Williams, Warren Thomas, who was a great comic who passed
Warren
away a
Thomas.
Few years ago.
Yeah, he's great.
A Louis Anderson, who's looking, who just looks like, "Meh, I'm Louis."
Bruce Cherry.
Yeah, so it's there's a lot of history. There's a lot of history at the Punchline. I don't know how long they've been at this particular location. I know this was not the original Punchline, but they've been here quite a while, and it's a fucking great room to perform in.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And this is the place where, if anyone's ever heard the stories of Chappelle doing, you know, hours and hours long sets at any place till like 6 in the morning, this is the club.
I did one of those shows because I was supposed to headline, and he wanted to keep performing, and they were like, "Do you mind?" I'm like, "I don't fucking care." It's Dave Chappelle, for Christ's sake. So I opened for him for a couple shows, and then I saw him do almost 4 hours, which I thought I would hate, because, you know, when you're around comedy, like, I can't watch comedy for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And he was engaging the entire time.
I mean, you know, it's hard, though, because even physically, it's hard to laugh for that long. Your body, it's hard to keep your body going.
But it's sort of, number one, people kind of expect it and they want it. You know, every time you start to get off stage, they'd be like, no, no. It's like when Aukerman and BJ Porter used to do those all-night comedy Death Ray anniversary shows.
Yeah.
People show up expecting to be there for hours and hours and hours, and they... So just managing their expectations, I think, is part of it.
Yeah. Who's the guy that... Bob Marley is the guy who just did, like, broke the...
Did he?
He broke the record for longest comedy
set. Now, some people may not know that Bob Marley is not the dead reggae singer, but is a white comedian.
That was my ex-girlfriend's favorite comedian.
Bob Marley.
That's someone's favorite comedian?
Yes.
That was a good guy.
No, he's great. I mean, it's weird. It's like saying, my favorite band is...
The Dave.
Like,
Bob Marley.
No, see, like, the Dave Matthews Band, I could say... That, like, I could see how some people, that's, like, their favorite band. But it's, like, you know, like, how some bands are just bands that you're like, oh, that's just a band. It's like Train. Yeah. It's like, oh, Train's, like, my favorite band. Really? That's kind of a weird thing.
So you're saying you're not on the Bob Marley train.
Boom!
Hey, I matched up the things you just said. It's a song I've been working on.
It's coming along.
It's coming. It's a bridge.
It does.
The verse.
And music behind it.
Yeah, maybe a little. I just started this week. I started playing guitar on stage in front of people, which was a very huge deal for me. Because, it, you know, what you learn when you... First of all, what you learn when you're doing comedy is... any performance medium, actually. You can nail it at home. But it totally changes when you get in front of people, and then you have to stay still because there's a microphone, and just like the environment of it, it just changes.
Yep.
And so there's a whole second learning curve where you're like, fuck, I totally... That's why so many people, like, if they fuck up on auditions, they're like, I totally had this at home. Because when you get in front of people and you feel like, you know, now it's do or die, you just...
Different.
Your asshole begins to close up really hard. And that makes you
tense.
Which
is the medical term for what happens.
Yeah. Well, this man's asshole seems to have closed up really hard.
He won't be any use to us now.
This week on House. That's all it was. That was the diagnosis. Well, it turned out his asshole closed up really hard.
I watched, like, three houses in a row, and Greta wasn't having it after the second one. She's like, it's the same thing every time.
Every time.
I was like, it's procedural. And I love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he always has to have the house moment of,
yeah, of course,
an unrelated thing. You can't leave those cones here. No. Test them for cones. All right. That was a very bad, obvious example.
But whatever.
I don't even know what having cones would mean.
Yeah.
No, it's an eye problem. It's cones.
Oh, you have cones. Yeah, you have cones in your eye, right.
Yeah. But like, I like when Wilson is there and he has the moment because they... reference it.
At what point do you think they're going to make a joke and put a volleyball on his desk? So when he comes in,
Wilson.
It's Wilson.
Oh, yeah,
probably never. Chris.
Probably not after this response. I was expecting way more from this crowd, to be honest with you.
No, sorry.
You forgot about Castaway?
I forgot about, you know, the reference that was kind of
the Hanks classic Castaway.
No, I'm sorry.
You motherfucker. You motherfucker.
I needed something to get out of that.
Yep. Yeah, yep, you did. You absolutely did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing the Benson Interruption today, which should be a lot of fun. You're doing Meltdown. Yeah. You're not doing any shows because you don't do stand up yet.
No.
Next year.
I'll do plenty.
That's our goal for you. That's one of our goals for you.
Yeah.
I'll be on next year's Meltdown.
You'll be on
assuming there's a Meltdown.
You'll be on Meltdown. Yeah. There will be a Meltdown and you will be on it before next year. Because it's only January.
No. I've done Meltdown. In Los Angeles. I'm just talking about.
Sorry, big man, I didn't realize. What do you mean? You mean Meltdown on the road?
Right, yes. The road show, the traveling road show Meltdown.
Yeah. Should we look at, do we have questions or comments?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I sent out the tweet for emails today.
Oh, nice.
And we actually got quite a few.
That's why my inbox blew up. Oh, I can't check my, never mind.
The email being podcast@nerdist.com. Oh my God, we have shitloads. I don't even know where to start with these.
Jesus.
Who's got the funniest name?
Okay. No, I'm not going to read that one.
Okay.
Okay, so I haven't pre-screened these. So these might be terrible. Thanks to Jason Carlin, who wrote in and said, wondering about your thoughts on comic books. Anything you guys are reading lately? Pet peeves about the industry, like poor productivity leading to delayed books? Is it feasible for the digital markets to coexist with paper? Love the podcast and all great comedians and concepts you point me to, and for always reminding me to enjoy my burrito. Twitter handle @the2scoops.
Fuck, I'm not really...
This may damage a lot of people, but I don't really read comic books.
I don't
I
have...
used to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I bought the comic reading app on the iPad.
Oh, nice. That is gorgeous,
and it really is pretty spectacular.
Yes, it is a good interface.
I want to read the Wonder Twins.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I found a piece of artwork online of, like, you know, a comic book artist did this most insane, awesome Wonder Twins. That's awesome. You know what? I'll post it on the website. Look at that.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty rad.
An artist named Alex Ross.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, Alex Ross. Yeah, he's great.
So he's good, and this actually made me want to read Wonder Twins.
I think I just picked up the Max Brooks written G.I. Joe book, which was pretty
cool. Oh, I saw that.
Max Brooks, who did the Zombie Survival Guide,
and is Mel Brooks' son,
and is Mel Brooks' son. He wrote a one-off G.I. Joe book that's in the perspective of the Cobra Commander.
And at the very end of his book, does it say, Knowing is Half the Battle?
Yeah, G.I. Joe.
Does he do, like, a little lesson?
Yes, he does at the very end of it.
But if your friend is bad on fire. People.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll read Star Trek and Doctor Who comic books in Barnes & Noble on my lunch break. They're okay.
Let me.
Okay, hear the clock ticking.
Well, I mean, we'll edit some of this.
I'll snip this out. Jason Smith says, "Just a quick note to say that I really like the midweek guestless show." Well, that's good, because this is one of those. To be honest, though, I have found Vader Pussy to be a wretched hive of scum and villainy. Well done.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
well
a
done.
Good Vader pussy.
Well done, Jason Smith. That is a good Vader pussy. Okay. Someone with a crazy numerical email at att.net. Why don't you ask Liam Lynch to come on the show and you guys could talk about Doctor Who for 3 hours? Done.
Yeah.
George Lucas. Not George Lucas, but a guy who has George Lucas in his email. What if it is George Lucas? That'd be really weird. It's not George Lucas.
You know the world's ending, guys, in 2012.
There was a joke.
Hi, I'm new to the gaming business and wanted to see if you would help promote our company, Brickwall Games, Colossal Productions, and Warehouse Games. Thanks if you do. Done!
Send us a check.
That was an easy one.
Send us a check.
That was an absolutely easy one.
I'll take a dollar.
Okay, from Mark Mark McInnes.
Mark
says,
McKinney's writing?
No, not Mark McKinney.
Oh.
Not of Kids in the Hall. Actually, I used to hang out with Mark McKinney quite a bit.
As I am
Kevin McDonald, and you may have appreciated some of my work in Invader Zim.
I think there's a cat in your head.
There's a cat in my head. I've not done my Kevin McDonald for
it
Kevin McDonald.
So
I'm really nervous about doing it.
It's
in
very
front of him.
Accurate.
Yeah. It's very good.
We happen to be in the same vocal range. Like, I used to be able to do Alf when I was a kid, but I can't do it anymore.
Well, here's one. Matt Hubble on Twitter asked, did you record number 56 before lunch? You sure talked about food a lot. Yes. Afterwards, we all ran to go get
food. Not only did we record right before lunch, but we were all on crazy diets.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark McInnes says, which one of these 10 magical items would you choose and why? Oh, my God, it's a list of 10.
Jesus.
Number one, a pot that can produce 1,000 kilograms of any food a day.
Next.
All right. That's a pretty good one, though. Two, a bracelet that keeps weather perfect wherever you go within a 250-kilometer radius.
Nope, don't care about that.
Three, a necklace that allows you to touch... Why does it have to be a necklace or anything? Why can't it just be you have the power to?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
A necklace that allows you to touch books and instantly absorb knowledge from them without reading.
Not bad.
Matrixy. I like it. Four, an unlimited bottle of perfume that will make you wildly attractive to the opposite sex. Is this person 12 years old? Because that's what it sounds like. Wouldn't it be awesome if there was a perfume that just made girls' pants explode off?
It's called Love Potion Number 9.
Yep.
Thank you.
They did a movie. Yeah,
they did a movie.
Sandy Bullock.
Yep.
34th and Vine, right? That was...
You know what? He was very... Okay, you know what? He was very thoughtful. An unlimited bottle of perfume that will make you wildly attractive to the opposite sex. Parentheses... Or same-sex if you're gay.
Cool.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Which cannot be used on anyone you love. Oh, there it lies the rub!
Oh, man, what a Twilight Zone episode.
Someone just watched Bruce Almighty. You can be God, but you can't make anyone fall in love with you. The real miracle is a woman who has raised kids and no...
19 no years.
The real lesson we learned...
No, the real lesson is that it's awesome to pull the moon closer to the Earth.
That was pretty
300
cool.
300 yards of foulness. Yeah. I don't even want to...
I can't even understand. I tried so long. I tried the longest time to do a bit where Morgan Freeman was just narrating every movie. and it was him narrating Revenge of the Nerds. They're like, standing in what must have been 300 yards of pig filth, those nerds decided they would have their revenge.
I believe it's shit-smelling foulness.
Yeah.
I don't even want to imagine.
Number 5, a watch that allows you to reverse time by a minute or less per day.
Yeah. Is this guy just watching movies like Click and Love Potion Number 9?
I think so.
Just kind of...
And then emailing people about it?
Yeah.
6, a bell that when rang fixes any one object at a time excluding living things within a minute. These are very...
That would be helpful.
This guy is a lawyer dreamer. That's what he is. Yeah. Like, there's all sorts of weird caveats. Yeah. Number 7, a chocolate bar with 12 pieces that makes anyone else who eats a single piece invincible and youthful until the age of 160.
What the fuck is this guy?
He is awesome is what he is. What a weird arbitrary. Until the age of 160.
Yeah, of course.
Well, couldn't I just eat another fucking piece of candy and get another 160 years?
No, because by 160, you're just like, you're done with life. It's like, that's some things aren't meant to last that long, you know?
Wait, is it 100? So the age of 160 or is 160 years? I think it's the age of 160.
Yeah.
Okay, number 8. No fuel required, maintenance-free, 8-person van that can take you anywhere on the planet within 1 second.
Does it have cool wings?
Is it the Mystery Machine?
I think it's probably just the Mystery Machine. Number 9, a remote control that allows you and another person to change superficially into anyone you want. This guy is a DM. He's a dungeon master. The effect lasts until you decide to revert.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, all right.
Number 10. I get the logic behind this one. I get the logic behind this one. I can't see it.
You want me to handle that one?
It's so ridiculous. I'm sorry. Number 10. An immortal dog that poops out one gold coin every time it goes to the bathroom. I love that he made it immortal. Like, you'd have it forever.
You'd have it forever, but then you'd have to pass it down to your kid and their kids.
So, those 10 lists were... That was just question number 1. I don't know.
I'm torn between dog with gold poop.
Yep.
And the absorb any book instantly.
Here's mine. It's a dog with a gold poop, but not because of the gold poop. It's because the dog is immortal and you never have to worry about your dog dying. And that's like a horrible thing that people have to go through.
And just the benefit is he shits gold.
Yeah, that's like the benefit. You know?
Okay, I would go with the chocolate bar that keeps you youthful and invincible to the age of 160. Okay,
but
that
was 12.
All... What?
That gets dicey because you're like, oh, here, mom, here, dad, and then you're down to... 10, and then you give it out to other people, and then you got to give it to some like your best. You give it to Furman.
I think you couldn't get blown for giving a piece of invincible chocolate. I mean, I think that's a pretty good bargaining chip. Okay, so we both picked other things. Those 10 were just the first question. Question number 2 is going to the movies alone weird? Not a surprising follow up to the previous question. Not remotely surprising.
I'm going
to
say no. I've done
not at all.
I did it a bunch growing up. I actually saw 2 movies in one day by myself. Which one was Casper? Yeah. The Casper movie.
Sure.
You weren't scared?
No.
Were you super excited when Dan Aykroyd showed up?
Yeah, I was. And then the second one was Tales from the Hood. I saw both those in the same day, which I just recently rewatched Tales from the Hood, and it's quite fun.
My roommate Heath went to the movies when he wanted to see the Cable Guy again, so he told his mother, "Oh, I'm meeting Matt at the movie theater." So and it was a Sunday. I usually went to my grandmother's every Sunday, so I'm meeting Matt at the movie theater, and you know he's already in the theater, and his mom's there, so I need to go. And his mom brings him to the movie theater. He goes into the movies. And I, just by happenstance, one weekend we didn't go to my grandmother's house, so I called his house. And I was like, is Heath there? And she said, no, Matthew, he's not there. Right, he's not here, he's at the movies. So his mother goes to pick him up, and Heath gets in the car, and she goes, how was the movie? And he says, it's good. Oh, and how's Matthew? He's like, oh, he's good, he already left. And she goes, liar!
Which is such a weird, innocuous thing, because he just didn't want to admit that he was going to the movies alone.
Yeah.
Well, it was also... The fact that we were 12-ish. So, I don't even know how old we were. Not old enough to go to the movies by ourselves.
Oh.
In our parents' eyes.
Oh, okay. So it really was kind of a fucked up thing.
Yeah. But it was funny.
Parents' eyes.
Question number 3 was, how do you pronounce this name? And he wrote D-A-5-I-D.
It would be a David.
Could be a David or a Defived.
Defived?
I'm going to say Defived.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Mark McInnes, for a delightful question.
Yeah.
in several parts.
And way to get your creative writing chops on the show. That's a really clever way of doing it.
Hey, it worked. Let's see. Let's just take one more. Louis Aranga says, what's your opinion on Paul Rubens making a comeback with his character? I think it's awesome.
It's amazing. I saw the show, the live show, when it was downtown at the Nokia, Club Nokia. It was one of the most amazing shows I've ever seen live. I was smiling really hard the whole time. Everybody was really, really into it. And then that night, that's my first date with Deanna.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. When we went to go see They Might Be Giants at the Largo. That was a great fucking
day. Oh, my God. You saw the Pee-wee's Playhouse and They Might Be Giants?
And I made out with my girlfriend for the first time. Yeah, yeah.
That's
and we had a malt from Cantor's. God, fucking, what a great day.
What happened the next day?
That may be one of the best days.
What happened the next day?
Oh, shit. And the next day was the first episode of the Nerdist podcast recording.
Are you serious?
It was the greatest weekend ever. It was the Saturday before. It was Saturday night
before. Why am I talking
before.
In this register?
Yeah. Which is next week.
Do you know what I think is really important next to week, do? Yeah. And I'm gonna take it all sincere for a second. I think when you have days like that and you know that they're super awesome days, you need to write it down, like everything that happened on that day. Because I just think it's a good thing to keep record of those things. Because, you know, like, nerdy people tend to beat themselves up a lot. And so, you know, when you kind of go into those spirals of, everything sucks, and of course everything fucked up and nothing ever goes, then you can look back and be reminded, like, oh yeah, that was a day where everything went right. It is possible, and I can still, you know, I can be retroactively thankful for this cool day that I had.
You gotta be able to remember your greatest hits collection, you
it's
know?
True!
Because, you know, you like, you think back and you kind of get run down as you go day to day and stuff like that, and like, you gotta be able to remember and go, fucking, that was a banner day. You know, that was a good
time. I'm gonna sound a little silly for this, but at the end of last year, I made an accomplishments list of everything that I was proud that I did in 2010, and then it helped me kind of build a, you know, like a loose goal list for 2011. Like, here's what I was able to do this year, and then in each category, like work wise, relationship wise, you know. Whatever else wise I do, and it was nice. And as I was doing it, I kind of got the charge of sort of reliving those moments, and it was really nice. It was a really nice thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I didn't, you know, then you don't feel like such a tool bag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh, sometimes I don't fuck up. That's nice.
Oh, really? I should do that.
You will. You're going to.
2011's your year, bro.
Hope so.
2011.
I'm waiting.
20 double hockey sticks.
That's going to be awesome too, because people are going to be able to track it. Like, this is going to be basically a diary.
We're your living diary.
Yeah.
Well, this is like kind of like what Tim Ferriss was talking about on the podcast. You may have heard yet or not.
I don't think it's going to be up yet.
Probably not have heard
yet. It's not going to be up yet.
Soon you'll hear. But what he was saying about people who have a success rate when they post pictures of their food they're eating and so on.
Because they're accountable to.
Because they're accountable. Yeah. And
you already got people telling you, emailing you, twittering you.
Yeah.
So let's think. Yeah, that's so 2007.
I know.
Let's talk about, like, what are a couple things that you want to accomplish this year? We know that you want to be able to sustain yourself without having to go to a 9-to-5 job.
Or to
a 9-to-midnight job. So what do you want to do?
What do I want to do? I want to finish, get a writer's packet together.
Okay.
I want to do that. I want to finish my pilot script that I've been writing.
Okay.
That's got 3 pages on it and been sitting in my head for years.
Is it a sequel to the movie Freebie and the Bean?
Prequel.
Okay.
Prequel.
Good.
I'd like to, and I want to do stand-up enough so that I can make some money with it.
Did you write any of this stuff down?
Never.
Write it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Write it down so you can remember it and look at it, and you need to... You know, not to get all new agey, but there's something that happens when you write stuff down that, like, brings it into the physical world and out of your head. Because if it's in your head, it's just this weird sort of cloud of, I don't know, there's stuff that I gotta do and it's overwhelming and I don't know what to do. Write it down so you can see it, and then you can start figuring out how you're gonna do it.
I got this one. Remember the Olympics episode of Doctor Who where the little girl that, like, you know, makes the drawings and then they come to life? Exactly.
You're gonna be that little girl.
You're gonna be that little girl. You're gonna scribble those things and it's gonna come out of a garage.
And then you're going to meet Karen Gillan.
That could be on the list. She's so much taller than me, I imagine.
I don't know how tall she is.
Well, Matt Smith was pretty tall. He was taller than us, right?
Yeah, he's taller than us. Not taller than Jonah, but Jonah wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because Jonah's almost Conan-sized.
Jonah is Conan-sized.
Yeah. I'm actually the size of John Cusack, it turns out.
Are you serious? John Cusack's a big guy?
We talked about that on the podcast, I believe.
Did we talk about it when I got
where was
those jeans?
Yes, that's
yeah,
right.
The jeans, yeah. Weird. And I was standing next to him once at a party. I don't know how I got there or why he was there, but like, I remember like being next to a guy, I'm like, holy shit, this guy's like my fucking same size. And then he turns around, like a John Cusack.
Now, did you freak out? Be like, John Cusack! And then he grabbed you and went, you must chill! Did that happen?
I wish. He seemed like a dick, so I didn't talk to him.
Well, anyway, if he does listen to the podcast, he's invited to come on.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong!
Prove me wrong, Cusack!
Prove me wrong. Star of my favorite all-time movie, High Fidelity.
Yes.
It is a great movie.
Yeah, that's my favorite ever.
Well, I think this is a good place to wrap up the midweek Guest List Nerdist podcast. Yeah.
And everyone, thanks so much for... Oh, wait, what is this, the third one?
I think I'm going to put this one up second because we're at Sketchfest and we've just talked about Sketchfest and I feel like it's relevant this week. So
exactly.
This isn't going to mean anything to the people at home or wherever you listen to this, but the second one we record will go up third and this the third one will go up second. So I'll put this one up this week.
Yeah. So with that said... Everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the guest list.
Yes, people really. I thought they were going to be like
it had
snore.
It's had like last I checked 58 comments on Nerdist.com.
No, it's really
and
it's
all
really
of them are
awesome.
Positive.
It is overwhelming and I almost got a little misty, you guys. Yeah. I almost got a little misty because I always just assume like it's the guest. People listen to the guests, and then you know to have people be like. No, we like you guys too.
Yeah, no, it's a really awesome feeling. Like in all sincerity, this is great, and it's awesome to be able to get to just talk with you guys and some of that.
Yeah, so if you have other questions or comments, you can email us at podcast@nerdist.com. And also, I did start a Nerdist Facebook page, which
it's okay, Chris.
I know.
So far, the business.
You know what it is? It is, and normally I would never say, "Hey, join the Facebook page." But, you know, as we're looking into getting sponsorships, as we're looking to try to emancipate people on this podcast from their jobs, you know, it like when you go to sponsors, one of the things they like to know is that you have a strong Facebook group because that means a lot to marketing people. So
yeah, but just like join the Facebook page and come and hang out. Like it's like this is like it's a way to just kind of like for us to know who
go ahead
who,
friend
who you guys
me
are.
On. Facebook
I don't have
too.
The I don't have the crazy the URL that I want is Facebook/Nerdist, but that's connected to my personal page
yes.
where I am unable to accept
why
any
don't you
more
go
friends.
To Nerdist podcast.
What?
Nerdist podcast.
Because it's not just a podcast, it's for the Nerdist, it's for all the Nerdist stuff.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to get Facebook to move it over, and they said they would, but that was weeks ago, and it doesn't really seem to be high on the priority list for
some reason.
Hold on,
I'm going to call Zuckerberg right now.
Hey, you want to call
me? He was busy on SNL last night.
So I guess you would just have to search Nerdist, and there's a few different Nerdist pages, but the official one is the one that has the laser logo on it, and it will probably have the most...
Yeah,
fans or friends or whatever on there. So join that, interact with us on there. And again, thank you a billion times for listening. And Matthew, do you want to get it this week?
Oh, enjoy your burrito. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Yeah,
I did it.
Well played.
It sounded nice.
Right?
Yeah.
You had a good...
I want you to.
Enjoy
I really want you to.
Enjoy your burrito.
Please.
That's like a spaceship call sign.
It is.
Everyone, as we go to Zaxxon 5, I want you all to remember, thanks for flying, Coelestrian Airlines.
Coelestrian?
Coelestrian. The Star Tours.
Coelestrian. First of all, I thought it was a horse-shaped spacecraft, which
Equestrian Airlines.
Okay. Does anyone remember the transit system in Star Tours? Like, what is it? Oh, it is Star. It's Star Tours.
Oh, it's a FedEx truck, I thought.
Star Tours Transit. What is it? Someone will tell us on the internet.
Yeah.
Star
find
Tours.
Out. I used to go on Star Tours all the time. And as you know, I have an annual pass to Disneyland, and I went again a couple years ago, and I got violently ill.
Because it wasn't synced up anymore.
Really?
It was just off enough to make you violently ill.
It worked.
Is
like,
that a thing that was happening?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Halfway through, like, I got this really sharp pain in the pit of my stomach, and I got my mouth tightened, and the water...
You had to close your eyes, right?
Yeah, the drool, the mouth watering started to be like, hey, let me just lubricate this so you can spew some puke out of there.
It'll sting less.
Yeah, because it wasn't like you're moving.
Trust me, you'll appreciate it. You'll thank me later. Thanks, salivary glands.
It was off just a little bit, the hydraulics on there.
Oh, okay.
And they... Sure. Well,
now they're
reopening it.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about it.
No.
Because the trailer showed a speeder race. What do they call those things?
The pod racing?
Pod racing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you want to see pod racing? I don't really care for pod racing.
Well, maybe you'll enjoy it as a ride.
You're right.
All right.
Much like I enjoy burritos.
Well played, sir.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.